The shiur is Lefuas
Rachel
Bas Chai Yisara and Lilui Nishmas
Dvar
Yehudis
Bas
Moshe Yisachar Shem Rabin Aliyah.
Amen.
Four. Lilui Shmuel Ben Abram also. Shem Rabin Aliyah.
Shmuel Ben
Baruch Halevi. Shmuel Ben Baruch Halevi also. Shem Rabin Aliyah. The Haggadah of Pesach is a very peculiar book. When you think about it, we're supposed to recount what happened in Mitzrayim, the information that's provided is very, very scatty. And not only that, if you take a look, the base of it are the Psukim of Arami Ovid Avi in Parshas Kisavo. And we only quote from Sefer Shmos, from the stories, in order to elucidate what those psukim are alluding to. It's ridiculous. The best thing would have been just to open up a chumash and read Shmos right through Bishalach. It's quite amazing that the material of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the scriptural base is just those psukim from Parshas Kisavo, and just agav those psukim we bring in some psukim from Sefer Shmos to understand what those psukim are alluding to. It's amazing to see. You would have thought that the Baal HaGadol would have just read from Ve'ela Shmos down to after Kriyas Yamsuv and Parshas Bishalach. It's very strange, and that's the halacha that the Rambam codifies it halacha lemaase, there's two dinim of kol marba reizim meshubach. There's one that there is to just tell over the story, but he doesn't anyone just could do it freestyle. There's no text. No text, it's textless. Everyone could do it freestyle, like people did before there was a Haggadah. The Haggadah is it's hard to say exactly when the Haggadah was composed, but it's post-Talmudic, for sure. It's something, relatively recent in our history. Everyone did it freestyle. But then there's another din, says the Rambam, that Kol Marba Lidrosh Parshazu, anyone who says droshes on Parshas Arami Ovid Avi, like the Haggadah does, that's also a reza meshubach. These are the two Kol Marba reza meshubach. You do it freestyle, textless. You want to go text base? You want to go text base? Arami Ovid Avi and Darshan on that, on those psukim. Why not? Why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? Just read from Shmuel straight through Bishalach. There's plenty of detail there. That's something amazing to contemplate and to look into. Then there's the famous statement of the Ari. It's based on the Zohar that the Chag of Pesach is Pesach, the mouth speaks, that even, prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the words of the Ari, is the Dibur was in Golos, right? So it was not just the liberation of the Jewish nation as a nation, but there was a liberation of the power of speech, and hence, Pesach, Kol Marbe, Lesaper, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Meshubach, why Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a big deal. So let's explain it. Explain it to me, please. I've not seen people with speech impediments. Until time it's just right. People just spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke plenty. What do we mean by that? That the Dibur was in Golus and now the Dibur is liberated. Now there's another thing also to contemplate. The Gemara says, the Mishnah, that speaking of Nisan, Achar Shelachem Rosh Chodashim, Right? It's Rosh HaChodoshim, but it's not Rosh Hashanah. Right? But as a function of Rosh HaChodoshim, right, we do count the years L'malchei Yisrael. Right? Jewish kings, you know, were considered, you know, their Rosh Hashanah, when they were considered, so let's say he became king in Tishrei. You know, come Rosh Hashanah, he'd say that was his first year. I meant Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's Rosh Hashanah L'malchei Yisrael. Right? And that's something, you know, to think about, something to contemplate. You know, when we're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. Right? Our Melech Malchei Amlachim, his Rosh Hashanah is, you know, we're Mamlechim in Tishrei. But, you know, his agents on earth, Malchei Yisrael, their Rosh Hashanah is Nisan. Something to look into. You know, and it's just sort of the researching the difference between Rosh Chodashim versus Rosh Shana. The difference between Chodesh and Shana is really what we're getting into over here. I think it's sufficient questions to get started with. Maybe we'll explain other things, agav, as we go through this. There is a Mishnah in Sefer Yetzirah that says, Bara Olamo b'sefer v'sefer v'sipur. God created his world with his a book and a story. It's a lot of the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer v'sefer v'sipur. So now this immediately should turn on a light in your head that we're talking about Rosh Hashanah and Pesach.
Oh.
Right.
Sefer
Mason. That's right. Sefer Chaim, Sefer Mason. Gimel Sfarim Niftachim, Rosh Hashanah. Right? And Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah. A book, and a story. All right, and so let's just talk about that a little bit, and then we'll talk about, first of all, what they have in common, what a book and a story have in common, what's different between them. You know, and then we'll discuss, you know, the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach and what changed with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right. So let's first talk about what they have in common. And what makes a book? And what makes a story? They do have a common denominator between them.
Book is made up of a bunch of stories.
Right. All right, just because I put, if I just fill up a paper with writing and I publish it, it's not called a book because it's black on white and it's bound. That's what makes it a safer. You know, that's tam ksiva. A lot of writing. Of course, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You chayv misa, but it's not a book. It's not a book. Now it is particularly in Kisvei HaKodesh, you understand that even if one letter is missing, right, so the sefer is possible. Right, even though there's plenty of writing in it. Right, so I have a din of Kisvei HaKodesh. There's a particular. Particular psukim have to be written, and it's down. What's special about it by Sfarim? We're not going to talk about this too much today. But what's special about Sfarim is that it's down to the osius, something which in Dibur we don't care. But when Divrei Torah, speaking Torah, but for the sefer, right, to a sefer Torah, or when we write the Tanakh out in scrolls, like some people are makbid, rightfully to. If you could afford it, to read the Haftaras from a real Navi written on a scroll, even one letter missing, apostles the safer. All right, So what the two have in common is that there's a definite formula, and there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. I guess you'd call that in English to call it a plot. Right? It goes from here. There's a kivun. It starts here. It goes there. It goes. And the different steps are interconnected. The words are interconnected to form a sentence. The sentences are interconnected to spell out a whole idea, right? And then the chapters are interconnected. Give a whole story. Doesn't have to be a story as in as a fairy tale. It could be a story as in if I'm writing a dissertation and this is where I start with and this is my conclusion. It also qualifies. It's not. Doesn't have to be talking about people or real life events to qualify for what we're talking about. Anything that has a continuity from beginning to middle to end, right? That would qualify as a sipur or as a sefer. Just the difference between the sipur and sefer, regarding this that they have in common, right, is that one is oral, one is in writing. In a second, we're going to talk about what they don't have in common. Right? So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it's just generally speaking. Generally speaking, Sefer of a sefer of a sipur. What that means generally, before we get down to the particulars, means there's a destiny. There's a destiny. Right, that, like Hayah min adin, a person could easily view life at, as stills, snapshots. This happened, and then this happened, and there's no kesher. There's no, that's really how they make a movie. It's just like a bunch of picture, and then they just reel it. We say the fact that it looks like there's any type of hemshech is just an illusion. There's no kesher. There's no. Every moment is onto its own. Right? Nothing's headed anywhere. There's no story here. Right? We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with books and stories. Generally speaking, before we get down to the particulars, means that there's a destiny. We're headed somewhere. There's a storyline, from Bereishis down to Achris Hayomim.
So there's a purpose.
It's a purpose, but not only that, there's, everything's interconnected, and nothing's levatala. Everything is part of the story. Everything's part of the story. Meaning if everything makes it into the story, everything makes it into the book, that means everything's a part of it. Right? There's nothing levatala. There's nothing that's, Derech Agav. That is, what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a book and a story. Before we get into the particulars, generally speaking, is that the world has a destiny to it. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. Right. You know what that story is called, generally speaking? Generally speaking, that whole story is called one thing, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of destiny. It's called Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's the secret of B'chol Dor V'Dor, Chayav Adam L'Rasatzmo Ki Hu Yotzo B'Mitzrayim. It's all part of that story. Every generation is a part of that story. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not talking about the past. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the story of destiny itself. As a good story unfolds, so initially, the author is describes things that seemingly have no shaykhs. There's this person. In the prologue, there's this person, there's that person, and initially you don't see Ma Kesher. And as the story progresses, things become, they cross paths, and they hook up, And then gradually more and more is revealed as to what holds them together. You know, it's like the pieces of the puzzle. Initially, you know, you can't see, you know, where anything's going. As more and more pieces fall into place, right, you get to begin, you know, a picture. Right. And that's all called Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because everything before the Kesher that holds them all together is revealed. Everything is in its Meitzar. Everything is in its on its border. Meitzar, like Bar Metzra, the guy who lives on the other side of the fence. Got to give him your first dibs to buy your house. Bar Metzra, you know, the guy who's on the other side of the fence. Everything is in its fence. Everything stands onto its own. Right, and as time progresses, things start, you know, getting out of their meitzar. Mina meitzar karasika anani ba merchavka. You get out of the straits, and you know, and things start expanding. When they expand, they start, you know, in the expansion, these things that each one was in its meitzar start connecting. And that's where tikkun, the Ramchal explains in the Das Tfunis, the whole mitzias of tikkun is there, right? I mean, you know, things, you know, need tikkun. How are you going to fix it? We spoke about this once, right? You have a hole in your backyard, right? You know, you got this big gaping hole. What are you going to do about it, right? So you're going to dig up dirt from somewhere else in your backyard to fill up the hole. So you have a hole there, right? So you dig up dirt from somewhere else in your backyard and you have a hole there, you know. Well, the answer is like this, right? Someone else has excess dirt you need to get rid of, right? And for him, it's this dirt that for him is a liability, and it's for you, it's what you need, and you just got to pull the pieces together. He puts his mound into your hole. Now, we spoke about this once in a different context, right? Says the Ramchal, that's how tikkun is possible. Like, you can't even, like, you can't give yourself what you don't have. You don't. How are we supposed to supplement our chesronos? From where? Right? You can't give yourself the $100 that you're missing. It's got to come from somewhere else. Right? And so says the Ramchal, the olam hatikun as opposed to olam hatohu. In olam hatohu, everything is standing alone, and everything is stuck with itself. And stuck with its chesroinus, and nothing's moving anywhere. And that's the mistake that the selfish people make, says the Ramchal. Right? That being selfish, they'll never get what they need, because tikkun lays in the cooperation and the, you know, supplementation, that everything will contribute to each other. And that's why the selfish people, you know. Selfishness will never get us out of tohu, because everyone just wants everything. It doesn't work that way. And it's only in cooperation and coalescing and in pulling the pieces together. That's where tikkun is. That's why tikkun is possible. Right? It's not. We're not looking at a miracle. It's just that, you know, the. Don't get me wrong, communism is not the answer. I'm not a communist, not a socialist, it's not chas v'shalom. Right, it's not what we're talking about, you know, just the opposite. You know, I think we spoke about this once. You know, that's the union of the shuk and a free market economy is dafka at the shuk. We spoke about this once, I do believe, that the countermeasure for the problem that there is in the world is the shuk, just the opposite. Go to the market and that's where it's the exchange. And there's a free exchange, you know, and everyone gains and everyone is, you know, profits each other. Let's see, Adarabba, free market economy is the way to do it. Let's stay on the issue is that tikkun lays in pulling things together. So that's why it's so destiny and tikkun are really one and the same thing, when you think about it. That's why we learned already repeatedly, particularly in the Derech Hashem, everything's moving towards tikkun. you know, with the passage of time, everything's moving towards Tikkun. You know, we could do our part to accelerate the process. Because as every piece of the puzzle is being put into place. So as you know, when you build a puzzle, you know, every new piece, you know, now causes another three pieces to find their place. They find a place, et cetera, et cetera. And things are adding up and things are, you know, being pulled together. Every new event is another piece of a puzzle, another sentence in the paragraph, another chapter in the book, and more and more of a picture connecting past, present, and future is being formed, and in that is Tikkun. You know, things fit together and supplement each other. So it's not hard to understand that there's Hashgacha Pratis, and A, B, things are moving towards Tikkun, are really the same thing. Things are being pulled together. That's where Tikkun lays.
Is it the same word Tikkun when you make a Tikkun for Yotzar, right? They call it a Tikkun.
Yeah.
Is that the same line of thinking?
I don't know enough about it. Yeah, why people put out Tikkun? I'm not. I never studied it. I can't tell you.
You never studied it, but you hear it.
I hear it all the time, and never thought much about it. I just, you know, make the bracha.
Did you hear about it as a young kid?
No, I never.
Neither did I.
No,
that's what I'm wondering.
No, it's whatever.
Make a bracha. And.
Okay. Yeah, I know that's.
And every.
Right, that's. I'm just wondering, connected to
you. All right. So, there's many, many angles to this. But, And maybe perhaps in previous years we said something else, but not to the exclusion of anything we've said in the past. But when we say, you know, talk about Dibur, man was granted the power of speech, it doesn't mean, right? And we know it comes from the neshama, Eipach Vav Nishvas Chayim, Adam LeNefesh Chayim, L'Ruach M'Malah. It doesn't mean, right, that we're a stam of higher intelligence. So, the sound that the animal makes when it needs this, so we have a word for it. He makes these sounds, you know, that they, it's amazing, you know, animals they're not stupid, you know, they're quite, and they get along better with each other than we get along with each other. No, it's, they have communities, and they make shidduchim, whatever. They do it themselves, but they seem to have happy marriages, and they procreate, and they warn each other of danger, and they stick up for each other, and without language. And that means that language must be for a much higher purpose than going about your earthly affairs, because animals do it just fine, find a mate, find what they need, help each other, warn each other from danger. It's amazing.
Well, we don't know about the dysfunctional animal marriages.
Yeah.
Right.
If there would be such a thing, someone would have found a way to make money from it, right? Right.
They fight with each other.
Yeah. They fight. Yeah, they do. You know, not any worse than we do. Not any nit erger, right? Yeah, it's amazing. You know, they don't have language. They don't have language. You know, someone once told me, a friend of mine, Rakiv Eisenberg, it still rattles me every time I think about it. He said he's going to give a Musar Shmuz now. So, okay, let's hear. He says, I just read in some scientific journal that there's this bug that doesn't even have a brain. Right? It just has like a network of nerves. And it still could find its food, build itself a shelter, and avoid harm. That means that's everything that, our life is. Physical life, So, Parnasa, right? Shmira from the elements. That's the whole thing, and it procreates. It means you don't even really need a brain for that. It's a pachad.
Yeah,
right? Right? So I mean, so brain is for a higher purpose, right? And it must be. And speech is for a higher purpose. Right? So we had something in the Nefesh HaChaim. This is going way back to Shaar Aleph. Lo nitna mitzvus el litzaref bahen es abrius. Right? Nefesh HaChaim mentioned it more than once, that Chazal. The mitzvus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our mitzvus. It was given to purify. Right? Purify all the creation. So he said over there, I believe it was in the Haggah, not in the main text, that, you know, litzaref has two meanings. It means to purify, like, kesef tsaruf means pure silver, you know, yeah. It also means, like, tsiruf, as in to join together, to mitzaref. And he says over there in that Haggah, they're both the same thing. It's not, because that's the way everyone gets out of their chesroinus. Everyone gets out of whatever quagmire there is, our impurity or our holes, you know. Our chesroinus, that's where the tumah is chal also, kayadua. Tumah, it's not chal on something complete and perfect, it's only chal on something. When litzarav, the mitzvahs pull us together. The mitzvahs pull the pieces of the cosmos together. And that's their purification, because it pulls, and that's what he doesn't say that there, but other svarim say that the word mitzvah, lashon tzavta, also means connection. The power of the mitzvahs is to pull, you know, the pieces of creation together. And that's what, you know, as we close the gaps, that's where we get rid of whatever foothold the evil has, because it only has a foothold in the gaps, in the mefuzer and meforad. Right? And we pull it all together. Right? The power of speech, one of its many functions, right, is not so much to let out a particular cry or complaint about this or this or that. It's be able to connect things, tell a story, articulate a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's something amazing, because that doesn't, you know, think about this for a second, it doesn't exist in physical reality. Because everything is a still. It's a second, an event. That event passed, and comes another event. And one could easily argue, listen, you know, there is no hashgacha. You and your mind, you're making a story out of it. Who says any of this is real? Maybe there is no story. Right? You know, but the eyes that observe physical, they don't see a story. They see event, 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 all separate. So then the mind starts making connections, but those connections are all in the mind. Or another way of saying in the mind means it's all spiritual, it's not physical, the connection between the events. I mean, if it's real, it's spiritual. And if it's not real, it's stam fantasy. Right? And that's just between, you know, a true story and the fake news. Right? The Lashon Tov or Lashon Hara. And it's an amazing thing. There's a Pirush Haravid. It's not really from the Haravid, but it's from a Rishon on the Sefer Yetzirah that says that Lashon is Miloshon Lash, to knead things together. Because that's what you do with a story. Of course, the other guy who speaks Lashon Hara, he's weaving a whole, spinning a whole tale. You know, it's a... But of course, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, it's supposed to be... we're supposed to, with our mouths, tell over. Amzu yatzarti li tihilosi yisaperu. This nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, right? Yatzarti, right? Gave it a tzura, right? Gives the world a tzura. You know, tihilosi yisaperu, tell over my praise. Right? It's the Sipur, supposed to reveal the story of destiny. That's something that there is in Dibur that's spiritual. That the Dibur can reveal something that it's not physical. It's something spiritual. The story that holds reality, the story of reality, it's not something that the eyes can see. It's something spiritual. I mean, if you're right, it's either spiritual or fantasy, one or the other. Right? But if you got it right, meaning because you're approaching it with Das Torah, so the Dibur is revealing something that the eyes can't see. The eyes just see stills. The eyes don't see the story. The Neshama sees the story. And the whole the cosmic story is Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the whole cosmic story. That everything is getting out of its boundaries. You know, and that's you know the Radziner says that you have to you know we say that you know Nisan is Chodesh Ha'aviv. Ha'aviv. The so says the Radziner, so it's called that because things go into bloom. He says, don't you understand? That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, the plant was stuck and constrained, locked up within itself. And it's, you know, the blooming is liberation. Right? You know, it's, you know, the every year it passes, another, he says, you have to view it that every year that goes by, something else was liberated. You know, everything was there in potential, but it was stuck there in potential. Got liberated. Liberated from potential to actual. That's why it's by no coincidence the month of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the month of blooming. That's like the Yetzias Mitzrayim for everything in the Bria. Everything's having its liberation. Right? Everything. So another point that I heard from my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik, Kodesh Livracha, that the Aviv is Aleph Beis. Right, things are starting to move in order. One, two, things are starting to move in sequence. Right. Before Yetzias Mitzrayim, no one could see that the world was headed in any particular direction. I know, you know, the Avos believed it, but they couldn't demonstrate it. Right. There were no revealed miracles, you know, and that starts from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Leman Saper Shmi B'chol Aretz. The Bible says, Leman Saper Shmi. It's like, you know, because, yes, you know, the Dashgacha is all headed in one direction. It's all headed to reveal Hashem, Bayom Hashem, Echad U'Shmo Echad. Leman Saper Shmi. It's all this whole sipur of the revelation of the divine name. Right? You know, when all the pieces of the puzzle will be together, right? It'll spell out one big divine name. It'll spell it Yud K Vav K. You look at reality, you just see Yud K Vav K, the whole. When everything is finally together, every piece of the puzzle will spell out divine revelation. Leman Saper Shmi. And the universe is on track ever since Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the first 2,000 some odd years of world history. You know, so you had believers and you had disbelievers, and no one could prove their point, to demonstrate their point. That was the whole thing of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, that was done b'oiseis u'b'moivsim, right, to make the world aware. And now the whole world knows, because there's not a place in the world where they haven't heard of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu goes to power for the first time, says, Lo Yadati, I've never heard of the guy. And now the whole world, ever since Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole world knows that there's a God. You know, it may disagree, it may fight, you know, may rebel, but everyone knows. It's not, the world's been conditioned, the world's been pushed, what still needs tikkun is that we're working on, not working retroactively, to fix the first 2,000 years of world history that Chazal call Alpayim Tohu, and that's all the difficult kids that are being born in our generation. It was foretold. It's not. It's in Sfarim. You know, all the Azei Panim from the first 20 generations, they're all coming back Begilgul, and that's those are our kids. You know, so I'm not kidding. It's not. I showed this in Reb Tzadik, I showed this in the Leshmak, I showed this in any written already years ago. It was all foretold that this is going to happen. You know, we have to pull in that into the story also, and that's, you know, it's the job at the end of the days, you know. But getting back to the crux of the issue is that there's there's a story to destiny, and that's what the power of speech is about. I mean, you need speech for Sipur, you need speech for a safer. Now it goes, well, that's the language you're using. Language is, being just one is written, one is spoken. Now let's get into the difference between the two. All right, so it could be said klali that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's where the Sipur of destiny, Laman Saper Shvi B'chol Aretz, emerged. It was revealed. There's a story. There's a destiny. All right, and the main characters of this story, the hero of the story, are the Jewish people. That's our position. We are the, what do you call them, the protagonist, right? Right. That's how we're the protagonist. Everyone else, the rest of the ummah, are the antagonist, right? And that's the story. And it's the story, right? And that's what gets revealed. That's what gets renewed, right? Except that there's and that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim is necessary for everything. If not for Yetzias Mitzrayim, there'd be no story. And that's why there's not a single chag that we don't say in the Kiddush Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even Shabbos, because without that, nothing got started. But then there's still the difference between a book and a story, which explains why there are two books, Sefer V'Sefer V'Sipur. Right? And this gets into the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, Sefer. Torah Shebaal Peh, Sipur. By no coincidence, the Torah Shebichsav is a book, and the Torah Shebaal Peh is, Baal Peh. They're the givens, they're the axioms. When a person tells you, this is the way it works, or this is the way it is, you say, where is that written? Efo ze katuv, right? That's the automatic knee-jerk reaction. Where is that written? Interesting that people chop that, because writing means like etched into stone, like it's done. Those are the axioms. You can't depart from them. So of course the first book, right? There's the first book, and that's the book that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave, and that's why Chazal talk about, interestingly enough, that Torah was created before the world was created, and was Esh Shchora Al Gabe Esh Levana, black fire and white fire. I mean, it was written. In a certain form of writing, black. It's etched in stone. It's reality. If you're, of course, talking about when you're still mid discourse, right? Describing an idea orally, you could constantly, put a new spin on it. It's not finalized till your talk is over, right? But when you put something in writing, it's too late. Right? You have to erase it. Right? But speaking, seeing if you said a certain sentence, but you could, if you're still mid-talking, you could say, what I meant when I just said that, and since it's all one, presentation, right? So no harm is done. You don't get away with that in writing. Right? And that's why writing is a lot harder than speaking, at least for me. You can't just say, and what I meant by that. Well, it doesn't, you don't do that in writing. You have to write, so you have to go back and erase. Right? So of course, what Akash Hu does is final. So his dibur is as good as written. Like the Lashon of Halacha, there's another person like that, Rachmanson, called the Shchiv Meira. Right, whatever, all his deathbed wishes are final in halacha. If that means if he gets healed, it's all null and void. Also, you have to know and it's a lashon of a chazal is divrei shchiv mira kiksuvim umesurim. Whatever shchiv mira says is like written and handed. Written, it's like written in a shtar and handed over. And it shows that indicates final. Right, it's final. No, it's of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation is called the Sefer. Right, it's final and it's down to, it's not theoretical, it's down to the black on white. And that's also, you know, his chumash that, you know, we can't play with the text. You know, it's final. There's no, you can have 100 kashas, nothing you could do. The text is the text. You got to work with it. But then there's the Sipur. Like you could take a book, and two people could read from the same book, and they'll both be faithful to exactly what it says in the book, right? No one's gonna change the text, but one guy will put the emphasis and certain tones on this side of the story. They could sound almost like two different types of stories, you know. One guy, you know, the way the tones that he puts into it, and you know, the emphasis, you know, even though he's loyal to it, could make the, you know, make you feel sorry for the antagonist, you know, and a person could read in a way that, you know, like many news agencies do, you know, both working with the same footage and one, you know, right? And that's the power that there is in Sipur, that there's still a lot that, you know, could be done. The person who's being misaper, even though he has to be loyal to the text that is written, right? There's still a lot of that could be put into it, read into it. There's also a lot that could be derived from it. If he's giving a commentary or giving a book report, yeah, and that's really it might be a little bit crude, but that is a metaphor to understand the relationship of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Of course, everyone, you know, all the different shi, all the tanoim and all amroim, they're saying they're both bound to the same text. Everyone's got to work with the chumash as written. And everyone, and if there's something that's sort of like that, like halacha moshe p'sil, which is, you know, it's, you know, non-printed, but nonetheless published halacha, you have to stay loyal to, right? But still, everyone, puts a different spin on it. They read the psukim differently. Same words. And now the beauty of it is that elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And everyone wonders, you know, how is that possible? Right? But you have to like listen to what Chazal Elvel Divrei Dibur Divrei Elokim Chaim in the way they say it over. They're both right, of course. You know, it wouldn't say, you know, ever Elu VeElu Divrei Elokim Chaim Ksuvim. It's not. Well, of course, you know, it's they have to agree on what's written. They can't argue about that. You know, it's Divrei and how they say it over. Everyone could see something else, put the emphasis on a different thing without changing the text. Without changing the text of the Chumash, and the amazing thing is that that power of Dibur has its that's the Shivim Panim LaTorah, that's the Elvel Divrei Elokim Chaim, and that's in the Torah Shebaal Peh, not in the Torah Shebichsav. There's no machlokas in Torah Shebichsav. The text is the text. There's nothing to argue about. Right, and how you say it over, how you, the emphasis you want to put, how you want to read the pasuk, right. How you want to understand the pasuk, report on the pasuk, and that's the relationship between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And then there's the final book, the Sefer of a Sefer of a Sipur, that the way it gets said over is also going to be written at the end of time. Right? How the story A was interpreted, the way it was interpreted, will get written also. Now, what do I mean by that? Right, so let me explain this. Right, like we said, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote out a storyline already. Black fire and white fire. The whole universe is following a script. Except that we know we have Bechira, because there's plenty of room in that script, you know. And yeah, you could go multiple ways and still be faithful to the actual words of the text. The same way, like I explained, two different people could read from the same text and they're staying loyal to text. It could sound like two different stories, but not a. And that explains how even everything's bashgacha, and there's still bechira. Not, it's all rooted in this relationship between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaalpeh. That's the shurish of how there is a destiny, but there are multiple roads to go down. That, so, you know, Chumash said one thing, only one thing, and yet Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel could argue, this one says Chayiv, this one says Pot, this one says Mutar, and Eil Veil Divrei Elokim Chayiv. And that's the shurish of how there's free will, even though there's a definite destiny. Same story has the possibility of developing in different ways, and the way it ultimately will get developed in course of generations, it's all going to be written. It's going to be the final book. The final book is Lefi, the way the Sipur told over the story of Book A is the final book. It's the book of, you know, the book at the end of time, the final book. A book gets written based on how we're mesaper what's written in the first book. That's what it means. Borrow a loan, b'sefer, b'sefer, b'sipor. On Rosh Hashanah, kol bo'olam o'rvav kivnei moron, on Rosh Hashanah, Kodesh Baruch Hu renews the whole creation. He does it his way. He does it his way. And you know what? That's the book. So it's an amazing thing. Gemara says like this. Right. You would think after Rosh Hashanah, that's it. It's hopeless. It's all written already. It is all written already. But it's an amazing thing. Right? You know, it is all written already. So it's written that, you know, everyone's screwed up. It's going to be lousy rainfall this year. Terrible rainfall. Very little rainfall. Right? But then Am Yisrael does tshuva. So I don't have to change the book. No problem. So let's say X amount of rainfall is going to fall. The Ribbono Shel Olam says the Gemara will work it out. The same amount of rain, we're not changing anything that's written, right? That amount of rain will fall exactly on the fields that need it. And you won't have rush hour traffic. Won't rain on the highways, right? Won't rain on the highways. So the book doesn't change. The book doesn't change, right? And there's Gishmei Brocha because it's only that amount, but it comes where it counts, right? And the same way, the other way, time of Chas V'Shalom, right? At the time of Rosh Hashanah, everyone was, Am Yisrael was Zeicha, and there's a lot of Gishmei Bracha, legislated, written, right? But then they fall from grace, right? So nothing has to change. The book could stay the same, right? Don't have to erase anything. That amount of rain will fall. It'll fall on the highways. On the highways, on the tunnels, coastal flooding, but not on the fields that need it. Plenty of room to maneuver with everything being written. Right? And the maneuvering that's still left open in the Sifrei Chayim, in the Sforim, Sifrei Chayim, the maneuvering is all totally in Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael. The goyim, what they do, we learned this already, both in Derech Hashem and Nefesh HaChaim. The goyim don't affect the cosmos. They can't, right? We learned that already, right? They only affect themselves, right? But the real game changer, cosmic game changer is Am Yisrael, the way Am Yisrael tells it, right? The Maisim of Am Yisrael affect the cosmos. We had this, over and over again, which means the ones who are authorized to tell the story are us. And we're the ones who could put the spin. Right? So we do with our Torah Shebaal Peh. We say, Lo Bashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give in to us, Kivyochol, Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni Bonai. When we learn up, we don't tamper with the Chumash, Chas V'Shalom, but our interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorized us. Right? See, when Min HaShemayim, they're like Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and Chazal outnumbered him, he says, Nitzchuni Bonai. Right? That's the power of Torah Shebaal Peh. We're the ones who are authorized to tell the story. Am zu yatzarti tilasi yisaperu. And that's what gets renewed, right, in Yitzias Mitzrayim. So there's something that happens general for the whole world, and there's something that happens in particular for Klal Yisrael. What happens in general for the whole world back then, by the first Yitzias Mitzrayim, is the whole world finally got on track. At the first 2,000 years of world history, the world was Hefker. meaning to the eyes of anyone, there's where are we headed? Where are we going? You know, what's the tachlis? Right? And then Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ba'ofen Klali, revealed that there's a Borei, there's a Yesh Din, V'Yesh Dayan, and he's got plans for the world. Laman Saper Shmi B'chol Ha'aretz. Right? And that's how, you know, Pesach gave us even Shabbos, gave us Rosh Hashanah, gave us everything. If not for Yetzias Mitzrayim, everything would have been left in the state that we were in Alpayim Tohu, where everything was separate, every event was separate, there was no sense of destiny, no sense of things being interconnected and leading towards encompassing Tikkun. So, you know, the Yetzias Mitzrayim was, you know, got the whole universe on track. But then there's something in particular, so that's for the world, right? Laman Tzapar Shri V'chol Arts. But there's something in particular that Am Yisrael was chosen. Am Yisrael was chosen to be the Am HaNivchar. Am Zu Yatzarti Li Tehilas Yisaperu. It's totally in them. Something special for them, the people, right? And that renews every year, right? How Am Yisrael was chosen, right, to be manhig the world, you know, without deviating from whatever is written in the books, right? But we're the ones who tell the story. B'soi Torah Shebaal Peh, we're the ones who tell the story, right? Either we tell it or history will record the whole history in context of what happened to Am Yisrael. When the history books get written at the end of time, that final sefer, you know, the storyline all will center around Am Yisrael. What happened to us? Everything. Everything. Why Donald won, why who he lost, it's always going to be, that's all going to be agav, you know, how it fit with Am Yisrael. Everything's going to be, the whole storyline is going to be what happened with Am Yisrael. Just, if we're Zocha, we tell the story. If we're not Zocha, we're the ball that gets kicks around in the story. You know, we're the ping pong ball, right? But the storyline follows Am Yisrael, follows Am Yisrael. And that's the liberation of the Koach HaDibur. The Amzu Yitzad Tilasi Yisapero, Am Yisrael tells the story. This power that we exhibit with the Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Torah Sheba'al Peh. Right. The story, that, you know, the news flash that the eyes can't see. Right? The story of destiny. Right. And Am Yisrael's position as the Mesaprim gets renewed every single year. And that's why the Haggadah is more Torah Shebaal Peh than it is Torah Shebichsav. Right? Because that's the whole Cherus. The whole Cherus is, you know, aside from the Cherus of the world, Cherus Olam, I always say, right? The Cherus Olam, the world was liberated, like we explained. Both in Klali, the whole world was liberated, and Pesach gave us Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. Right? There's Cherus Olam, but there is the particular Cherus of Am Yisrael in particular. You know, the Mesaprim, we're the ones who tell the story. And we're the ones who are authorized, the authorized readers of the book, that we could put our spin on it. And that's how history is developing. History is unfolding, lefi, the choices that we've made, the psiske halacha that we got from our gdolim. You know, that's what's causing the unfolding of destiny. Even though it's all faithful to the text that's written in Shemayim. Right? But whatever spins could be put on the text, Am Yisrael is doing that. And that's the final book that's being written as the recording of our sipur, of the way we told over, right? Which is all our choices and all our chidushei Torah, all our piskei halacha. Right. And the Haggadah follows suit. You know, the ikar koach of sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is how we tell it. To read from the Chumash is how it's written. That's not the point. The point is how we say it over. That's why the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not to parrot psukim. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is tell it over in your own words. Quote Midrashim, use the Torah Shebaal Peh. And even the psukim of Arami Oved Ovi, even those psukim. So first of all, what are those psukim? Those are the words that a Jew is supposed to say. A Jew is supposed to say when he's bringing his bikurim. So it's really the words that Hashem put in our mouth. Right? That's the context of those psukim. But we know that Torah, that Sefer Dvarim, where it's from, both in Klali, relative to the first four Svarim of Chumash, is sort of the relationship between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. You know, we'll just leave it with a medrash that says as follows. The Sefer Dvarim opens up, Eila Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. Says the medrash right there on the spot. All right, Hare Moshe Rabbeinu says in Sefer Dvarim, Loish Dvarim Anochi. I can't speak. He says it multiple times. Lo ishtoram rochem, kvad peh, kvad loshen, aral sfasayim, etc., etc., etc. And all of a sudden, he's ish devarim. Says the Medrash, Sefer Shmos is korim shezachal l'torah. Mi shezachal l'torah, nisrapel l'shono, v'nase ish devarim. When he was zochah the Torah, he internalized the Torah, his tongue got healed and he became an ish devarim. The koch of Torah Shebaal Peh is that HaKadosh will put the power of Torah inside of us. And now we're ish devarim. We're authorized. We're the authorized tellers of the story. So that's why, based on that, the Svarim say that Sefer Dvarim relative to the first four is sort of the difference between Torah Shebaal Peh. It, in a relative sense, relative to the first four, it's like Torah Shebaal Peh, Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe. That is the Torah, as it were, canonized all his shmuzin to Am Yisrael. The whole Sefer Dvarim is written, doesn't say once, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. It's all Moshe Rabbeinu's monologue. Kodesh Hu commanded him to write it. And of course, Kodesh Hu commanded him to write these things. But it was Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe, Kodesh Hu then commanded him, that which you said, write. So it was originally Torah Shebaal Peh that Kodesh Hu commanded him to put in the scrolls and make it part of Torah Shebaal. So the psukim are from Sefer Dvarim, not from the first four. Because the Ikar Koach, what we have to celebrate, the Cherus of Yetzias Shrine, so the fact that the world was liberated and we were liberated, but it's much more. And with this V'lakachti Eschem Li La'om, we made Hashem's people, his people, we're the authorized storytellers of destiny. And that's what we commemorate, that's what we celebrate Seder night. Say it in your own words. Say it in your own words, because that's what's moving the story forward to another chapter, the way we tell it. You want to move Yetzias Mitzrayim forward to the next step, to continue to liberate, reality until every door has done their chelik in liberating. Chol dor v'dor, chavdom liros atzok, that's a sign. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the story of destiny. What pushes the story forward, what continues the story is how we say it. And that's why the Haggadah is patterned that way, to force us to say it our way. Right? Not to parrot what's written in the Chumash, because that's not going to move anything forward. Right? We have to say it our way. That is the driving force that keeps the story alive and keeps the story happening. Okay, Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
I have a question, an aside from the Parsha, yes.